I've had Joni Pacheco.
Any bond today? Bond to freedom, that's what I'm selling. Any bond?
Pittsburgh and.
This is basic civil defense information from the department.
And graduate of...
Speeding along the highways or riding the trains and skyways. Listen wherever you are. We bring you good news.
Yes, yes, it's quiet. It's very quiet. It's too quiet. No, I think it's just about quiet enough. I know, usually the diner is bustling with background noise, sound of people having conversation, forks clanking against plates, meat hitting the grill. Not now. Not now. It's just me and it's one other guy at the counter. That's it. I'm trying to piece together exactly what happened here. If you recall... as far as I can tell, a gas came in through the roof of the diner, and then there's a rumbling feeling, and the diner started to descend through the earth. And what am I doing? Hi, folks. Welcome to the diner, underground edition. I'm James Lilex, sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Connor at the diner, underneath somewhere by Old Highway 23. And probably now about, 22 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be at the time, because it would take you some doing to get down the hole. And I don't think you could. I think they'd shoot you on sight. No. I'm sure that there are roadblocks right now on Old Highway 23 that are keeping people from coming to this area because of the contamination, if that's what it is. Don't mean to be cynical here, but something's going on. So here's what I remember. I got gassed, and I got this wonderful, goofy nitrous oxide feeling, and I went down, and then I woke up, and I'm here in the diner, but it's quite extraordinary. If I look out the windows, I no longer see the area around Lake Lalaque or Highway 23 or the trees or the ruins of the funicular railway. Yeah, that whole thing fell apart. Ooh, that's another story. Bad shoddy construction. I'll bet some lawsuits are going to be popping soon over that. But apparently, well, they built it fine enough, but they didn't nail it down. They didn't attach it to the ground. It was just sort of sitting there. So when there was a bit of a wind, it all fell over. Yeah, but anyway, none of that can be seen. What I see when I look out is a vast scientific laboratory underground here. It's fascinating. It's beautiful, actually. It's very sterile. It's very white. The walls are curved. Everyone's wearing jumpsuits. And they're all looking at me with a mixture of clinical interest that I'm not sure I exactly appreciate, really. So this all began because they discovered a new form of life in Lake Lalaque. Now, it wasn't one of those, arsenic-based things that they were talking about a couple of weeks ago in the news. No, this was life based on Tabasco. There's never been any form of bacteria that actually had Tabasco in its DNA. And we were just all thinking this was kind of cool, scientific news being made at the diner and all that, but then FEMA showed up and tents went up, and the military guys and biotechnicians and the rest of it, and there was a quarantine, and apparently the diner was... Well, here's the part that I'm having a hard time understanding, okay? Now, we appear to be in what's one of those you know, underground super secret biological warfare labs where they take apart spores and things from outer space and bacilli, if that's what they're called, and you know, and try to see whether or not an antidote can be made. Because if you know your old radio serials and movies and the like, if anybody comes up with a poison, there's always an antidote. And generally, the idea of these shows is that somebody has to get the antidote as quickly as possible. Now, an antidote is different from a serum. A serum is something that can solve a pre-existing medical condition. For example, Aunt May in the Spider-Man movies, in Spider-Man comic books, suffered from some indistinct malady, the likes of which we were never really fully led to know the particulars of. I don't know what it was. Old age, diabetes, some sort of strange autoimmune deficiency. But Aunt May was always sickly, and there was times when Peter Parker had to get her a serum to make her better. Well, serums and antidotes are different. Antidote exists as the exact specific thing that can counteract whatever it is that you ate. And I guess the idea is that when anybody invents a poison, the next thing you do is sit down and work on the antidote. And I don't know how that works, but apparently it's a chemical that goes into your bloodstream and just cleans everything right up. It's, you know, it's like little tiny pieces of matter and can't be matter and antimatter. What we know from Star Trek is that if antimatter and matter touch, the entire universe is destroyed, so can't be that. Although if it was on a really small level, I mean, atoms of it, you know, maybe you'd just get gas or something. No, you'd get gas in your bloodstream, and that would form bubbles that would go to your heart and kill you. So I'm unsure on the science, is what I'm saying, but they would have to develop antidotes to these things, so when they find some new form of biological warfare or something that will kill people by, say, turning their blood to dust, they have to find a way to counteract it. Otherwise, you know, everybody's dead. So they have huge underground laboratories like this, and that's great. I support that. And I really don't think that it's necessary for me to know that they're there. I prefer actually to believe that they are rather than have somebody prove that they're not. I would like to think that the country is studded with secret, modernistic underground laboratories capable of doing these things, when, of course, your real fear is that it's a bunch of guys sitting around in a suburban office building in Atlanta, Georgia, somewhere with their feet up on the table saying, I don't know, you got any ideas? How the hell do we get an antidote to this? It's from Altar 7. Jeez. So the part that I can't quite get is this. They found the Tabasco-based life form in the shores of Lake Lilac, and then the team shows up, and then the diner goes down, and by some odd and curious coincidence, the location of the diner just happens to be above this underground facility. What are the odds of that, I ask you, really? I mean, did they all sit around and slap their forehead and say, well, we got a bad one here, given that there's an outbreak, and this could pretty much, looking at the vectors here, it could reduce the population of the world to about 7 guys in Alaska. But on the other hand, we're lucky that it happened to happen just where we got one of those labs. And secondly, when did they put this thing in? When? I mean, I'm looking at the design of it here now, and it's pretty 70s. It's pretty early 70s, late 60s, early 70s. It's got a nice vibe to it. I like it. It's a cool-looking place. Make a bitchin' nightclub. But when did they build it? And how did they build it? Did they show up one day and say to the diner, sewer work, yes. Yes, we're putting in a sewer way down there, and it's going to be a 5-story sewer, and there will be elevators, and nobody can come here, and you can't see the plans. And then, you know, they build it. You know, 6 months later, the sewer's back up, and what were you guys here for in the first place? Oh, that wasn't actually a sewer. That was a containment area for the nation's strategic reserve of Mrs. Butterworth's, for example. And then you'd say that's ridiculous, because A, Mrs. Butterworth's it's not maple syrup, you know. It can be made from fairly common ingredients, corn syrup, I believe. And secondly, you would not want to put it underground like that, because the viscosity level would become almost unusable because of the cold nature of our climate here. I mean, so if you're going to have an underground reservoir for Mrs. Butterworth's, you wouldn't put it under a diner by Lake Lilac in Minnesota, is all I'm saying. So the whole thing to me is just odd. So I don't know if I'm dead or about to be or what. I don't know. Periodically, there are experiments that they're doing. The first one wasn't fun at all. It was not fun at all. They brought in a monkey in a cage, and they opened up the sides of the cage so the monkey could breathe the air that we were breathing, and the monkey just died. Just fell over. You know, so we're thinking that's great. Something in the air here. How are we? Turns out the monkey had a heart attack just on the spot. When they did a little autopsy, they found a lot of plaque built up in his arteries, and so they had to start all over again. And they let a monkey out, and the monkey lived, and has been pretty much bouncing around the diner ever since, sitting in a corner, flinging feces at us periodically, which I don't think is part of the actual experiment process here. I just don't. And then there's this other guy that I'm sitting next to here, and he's alive, but he's just not a very pleasant person. There were journalists, as I remember telling you. The place was full of journalists when we were going down, and the journalists, they've all been taken away except for this guy. Rumpled coat with stains on it, poorly knotted tie, outline of a flask in his pocket, mashed fedora on his head. What's your name?
I ain't gonna tell you.
See, I've been getting that all day. So I don't know what's going on here. I've got absolutely no clue. But we got power. If I want coffee, I have to write the word coffee on a piece of paper and hold it up, and it's delivered by a robot arm. It's kind of cool. I mean, for example, here, just hold on. I don't know why I keep writing this. Got like 10 pieces of paper here with the word coffee on it. Why don't I just use the same piece of paper? Okay, holding it up right now. There it comes. First time it did, they had to cut a hole in the roof, and there was, you know, arc weld or some kind, sparks all over the place. It actually sort of set part of my hair on fire, but, you know, I've seen that Michael Jackson ad, you beat it out fast enough. Michael Jackson's problem, I think, was he just ran away saying, oh my God, my hair's on fire. Stop, drop, and roll, I always say. It's hard to stop, drop, and roll when your hair's on fire, because rolling doesn't do it. You've got to sort of stop, crouch, and bash. You've got to, you know, or stop, drop, and dunk if there's a bucket, or just, you know, put some coffee on it. But, of course, I hadn't gotten my coffee yet. The fire was started by the thing that came through the roof to put in the things that would come down and give me coffee. So, have a sip here. And the jukebox was working, so let's see what's on the old jukebox today. My, my, my. Let's go to D1.
Well, I feel as though we should move right into the religious material. When you walk through the garden, watch your back. Well, I beg your pardon. Walk the spitting that wrong track. When you walk with Jesus, he's gonna save your soul. You got to keep the devil. Why, we got to keep him down in the hole.
Oh, I get it. Uh-huh. Down in the hole. Get it? The hole that I'm in. Oh, that devilish little fellow who stocks the jukebox. You know, wouldn't it be great if Tom Waits actually had a lovely singing voice? Around the house, he would sing arias, be mistaken for Pavarotti by people who walked by the open window by his house. You know, then somebody comes in the door, comes in the room while he's singing, and he's down in the hole. Can't let him know that he can actually sing. Ruin his whole career. Yeah, just ruined my throat doing that. Good Lord. Wait a second here. I checked my watch. I've been here for at least 24. I don't know how long I was out of it now. I've been down here for some time. How did the guy who stocks the jukebox get down here to change the tunes to reflect the fact that I'm down in the hole? Now, I've always thought that he had a supernatural ability to predict what was going to happen and base the stocking of the jukebox upon that fact, but ain't been down here. In the hole. You know, this leads me to possibly think. Possibly. What if the jukebox records aren't really here at the diner at all? They're all off-site. He doesn't come here in the middle of the night and put in new records. It's all done in some secret government lab somewhere, which pipes them here by coaxial cable or whatever modern inventions they have these days. So this is some sort of curious behavior modification experiment then, is it? Diner but a Skinner box? Where he plays the songs and sees how I react to them, or the fact that they have a preternatural connection with the action that's going on? That would be interesting. It would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Diner is not only a part of an underground biological warfare station, but is actually a behavioral science study unit. Perhaps, for all I know, that the entire thing is a figment of my imagination. No, of course, it's absolutely ridiculous. He probably came down here, rappelled down, and stocked the jukebox himself. He's a man of significant dedication. Because, you know, they don't get paid just to show up. From what I understand it, in the jukebox stocking business, the guy actually gets paid by rotation. And what we call kickbacks, or payola, from these songs that he puts in there. Well, let's see what else we got here. But then again, if it does come from another facility, then it really wouldn't matter what button I push, would it? Because no matter what I push, the next one that comes up is going to be the one they want me. They, the man, wants me to hear. So what does it matter then? 5, 2, 7, stabbing at random. To be. All right. I get it. I stand mocked. You know, they're using that song Down in the Hole for The Wire. There are 5 seasons of The Wire. So if I push the button here at random, stabbing, 3 more times, I will probably get 3 more different versions of it. Who was doing it by the end there? It was Tom Waits, and it was Steve Earle, and who was doing it towards the end? I think DeBarge. All right, so let's just try it here. I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to punch. I'm just going to punch him. Ooh. My friend here sitting next to me, he's got a grimace on his face. Sweating a little bit, too. He doesn't look too good. Maybe he's got Tabasco fever. Maybe some music will cheer him up. You know, about putting the devil in the hole where we are.
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the
And there it just cut off. There. Fascinating. It's entirely possible that the person who is feeding me this music, and I've given up on the idea of the man who comes and stalks the jukebox, no, I now entirely believe it's a government plot, that I'm being asked to contemplate some sort of cosmological, theological dilemma here. We've got the earlier hole with an H, that's the one into which the devil must be placed. Although, when you think about it, I don't think he'd really mind much. I mean, a hole is, that's devil country. Oh, he might pretend that he doesn't want to go. Oh, no, do not put me down in the hole. But, you know, he'd be perfectly satisfied there. And then you've got the other hole in that other song. You've got he has got the whole world. The he, capital H, obviously God, has got the whole world. W-H-O-L-E. So in other words, I'm being asked to judge whether or not there's some sort of philosophical distinction between these two things as I sit down here and listen to these songs in the diner, which is below the earth in a biological weapons laboratory on the shores of Lake Lalaque because they discovered a Tabasco DNA bacterium This is the sort of stuff we must do, apparently. So then perhaps the whole, if there is one phoneme to take away from this, it is that indeed whole notion of perhaps the black hole. Yes, the black hole, that the universe itself exists in a black hole, which itself is contained in another gargantuan universe beyond our ken, beyond this one. And as far as and of course that would make sense if I'm being asked to think of this, because that extends into the infinite, whereas the reason that I'm here, of course, is because of an entirely infinitesimal bacterium that I cannot even see. And here I am, though, pitched between the two, the small, the large, the great, the infinite, the tiny, the immense. And yet, in our own world here, we seem to believe that this is the proper scale for the universe, because as human beings, we've constructed a built environment in which everything is our scale. Of course, if we were 40 feet tall, it would look very tiny, but it would look cute, very much so. As a matter of fact, if there are, you know, giants on other planets, they would probably come here and take our furniture and food and pots and pans and houses. They'd be so kawaii. They'd be very cute. They'd be, you know, we would be a source of collectibles, essentially, for their you know, they're girls, probably. Boys. Well, boys might like to collect our cars, I think about that. So that, to me, is the clearest evidence of why there probably isn't life on other planets, because if there were, some of them would be larger and they would have come here and ravaged the planet for collectible items. Yep, pretty much. But it might be. It just might. Hold on a second. Buddy, you don't look too good.
Damn stomach of mine.
Well, they served us chili today. Do you blame the chili?
Hell yes.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of rank around here, pal. How long have you been breaking wind?
Tootin'. 2 years.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm going to air this place out. I'm going to crack a window. And by crack, I mean I'm going to take one of these heavy glass sugar dispensers and throw it right through the plate glass window of the diner.
There are now 5 minutes to self-destruct.
Crap, I broke the decontamination seal. Well, they warned us this might happen, so they gave us all these little keys to wear around our necks at all times that we could use to turn off the self-destruct sequence. Look at everybody's run, everybody's fled. Oh, the key, where is it? there it is, okay, I got it, all right. Well, let's just go over here to the substation and it's inoperative. Oh, that's right. They were going to fix it this week. They were going to connect it, and they didn't. Damn it, the fools! I'll just have to go use the one in the kitchen, then. Just head right back here. Oh, boy, I haven't been back in the kitchen in a while. Where is it? Okay, here it is. Right, and in she goes.
Self-destruct has been canceled.
Here you go. Mission accomplished. Say, I wonder if they locked the back door to the diner. Kitchen door here. Apparently not. I can get out of here. I can stretch my legs. There, I'm out. There's nobody here. Kind of cool circular corridors running into the distance. Maybe do a couple of laps or something like that. See what's going on. Well, this is turning out to be the diner's moving. It's going up. And up. Let me stick my head through the door here and see. Yep, there she goes. Back up to the surface. On a pneumatic tube of some kind. And here I am in the underground facility. Oh, just wonderful. Just great. I haven't even started my Christmas shopping yet, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of here. I think I left the iron on at home, too. Oh, man. Did I set my alarm? I don't think I even set my alarm. I don't even know how long I've been gone. Well, if I can find my way topside, I'll see you back at the diner next week, I hope. If not, maybe I'll phone in from my cell. Hold on a sec. Nah, I'm not even getting bars down here. Of course, it's AT&T. It could be that. Maybe if I walk around, I'll find a spot. There's got to be bars around here somewhere. Well, thanks for dropping by, folks. We'll hope to see you topside next week. In the meantime, I'm James Lilacs, and this has been the Diner for Friday, December 10th, 2010. We'll see you up the hole, down the road, and ho, 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 and merry. Wish me luck.